Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's now time for News Headlines with Molly
on the Big Party Show on Channel 94.1.
Well, a lot of development in the area. New plans are in the works for the old Dana College campus. A developer from Omaha bought the 150-acre property back in 2013 for $3.5 million, but it has remained vacant since that time. Now it's been a target for looters and vandals, so the buildings are also have sustained some damage. So there's going to be a meeting on Monday at the Blair City Council with whether people will be taking ideas.
They bought
discuss
it,
some
options. You said 2013, that the school shut down in 2010.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's been vacant for a while.
That long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the residents are just upset. They
it's
want
a cute little campus.
There.
Have you ever driven around it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then there was hail damage. There was a big storm in 2014. Cost a lot of millions of dollars in repairs. So there's this meeting, 6 o'clock, City Hall, Blair City Council, and it's going to be discussing some options. Now, the other big project, City of Omaha is set to decide on giving the green light to one of the largest development projects it's ever seen. Consideration is a $1.2 billion mixed-use development named Avenue One. Avenue One would transform approximately 200 acres of farmland south of 192nd and Dodge.
Okay.
So new restaurants, shops, residents' office, developers say it would add nearly 9,000 jobs. But, I mean, it's a sprawling campus like, I mean, we were talking earlier, SimCity-esque
design. So
if
you're like every other mall in the area, are you like hissing at this thing?
I would think so.
Probably.
I'm always amazed by new mall space.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're like,
think about that, Jeff. Right down the road is Village Point.
Can't we drive to each other's malls? It's like everyone's like, I want mine.
Right. And you just wonder what's going to be, because Village Point is pretty comprehensive. So, I mean, unless you're looking at a mall that's going to offer department stores, I mean, that would be the one thing that I would say Village Point, while it has like, you know, shops, it doesn't have like an anchor store like a Nordstrom or like a Macy's or a Yonkers or something like that would, you know, be a destination.
It's just going to be bigger, better. That's the deal to compete.
Like
you
got to
go
Lake,
bigger,
right?
Better.
Bigger,
it'll
better.
Be bigger and better than anything that we've seen. What's neat is all the stuff like the walking and biking trails. I mean, it's like a planned community.
It is. I mean, because there's going to be apartments there. And that's the other thing. I'm like, where are all these people coming from that are living in all these places? It's so amazing.
And aren't they doing something still over at the Boys Town?
Well, yeah, there's
area?
Still talk about the developing that Boys Town farmland, but I think that this is a different, that this is the same project. I'll have to double check.
That's two
because
different locations.
Two
though.
Different locations, but I mean, anyway, this would be a pretty big. The planning board is saying a similarly large development was proposed back in 2013, but it ran into neighborhood opposition. This is according to the Omaha World Herald. So this idea may once again butt up against what the neighborhood sees as what they would like.
So there's
in
a
their
lake
backyard.
Out there already. There's Youngman Lake. They want to put a park next to it. And some of the people are calling it would be like a memorial park. Out in western Douglas County.
Okay.
15 years to complete is what they're estimating the time would take, which that's a pretty comprehensive project. And a man is under arrest in Bellevue for allegedly taking underskirt shots with his cell phone. A 33-year-old suspect turned himself in. He was booked into Sarpy County for intruding on a person without consent. One of the incidents took place last September.
Yeah,
a woman was shopping at Walmart. Yeah, I remember us talking about that.
She chased him out or something, right?
And then there were other instances in Bellevue in May and July. So I think it was all this guy back in 2016.
Well, anytime there's a repeated, like, I don't know how you just tenuously maybe get away with doing it once, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You better have an excuse like I was
like,
just,
oh, oops.
It was a prank.
Yeah.
I mean, it must
around.
Should be like, all right.
More than once, man, you got problems.
If you have, compulsive issues like that, I mean,
you got to go
do it
again.
The creepy guys in public doing sexual stuff like that. It's like next thing you're what? Hiding in bushes, pulling people off trails.
Yeah, what ends up happening?
Wearing
next?
A raincoat.
Yeah. Oh. That's issues, man.
You Omaha got some issues.
Police department is looking for the driver of a car that they say ran off after hitting a 12-year-old boy. The student was being dropped off at Anderson Middle School in Millard, and while he was crossing Adams Street near 154th Street, another car drove up in the lane going the wrong way and hit the seventh grader. The child was taken to the hospital to be treated for a leg injury. Anderson Middle School was notified of parents about the incident, but police say the driver got out, looked at what happened, and then left the scene. So they're looking for that driver or anyone who knows any information. They described the suspect's car as a white Buick. And doctors are advising Omaha area residents to get a flu shot. We talked about this yesterday, but there's still new evidence. There have been nearly 1,500 people who reportedly had the flu in Douglas County in February, and that's the highest rate in the past 10 years. The Douglas County Health Department says even though the number of flu cases fell last week, the number is still significantly high. Health officials say more flu cases could go unreported because some people just don't know to check in with their doctor when they get sick with the flu. And some top Democratic lawmakers are calling on Attorney General Jeff Sessions to resign following reports that he met with a Russian ambassador twice during the presidential campaign. At his Senate confirmation hearing, Sessions denied any contact with Russian officials. So now there are claims that he lied under oath and should step down.
Well, Al Franken, during the confirmation, asked him what he would do if he discovered evidence of anyone tied to Trump's campaign communicating with the Russian government before the election. And at the time, he said, I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign. I did not have communication with the Russians. So a spokesman for Sessions is now saying there was absolutely nothing misleading about that answer at the time, because he was asked during the hearing about communications between Russia and the Trump campaign, not about meetings he took as a senator and member of the Armed Services Committee. He's saying,
okay, he didn't talk about the campaign.
I can talk to Russians as a senator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what they're saying.
So this is the latest. The Russian embassy to the U.S. is dismissing the reports, saying that he met with the Russian ambassador before the election. He met with the Russian ambassador before the election. Now, President Trump had earlier fired his national security advisor, that Michael Flynn, just last month after it was revealed that he had met with the Russian ambassador and misled the vice president about the issues. And Wells Fargo, that scandal that may have affected more customers than previously thought. Wells Fargo earlier said as many as 2.1 million customers may have had checking accounts or credit cards opened in their names without their knowledge so employees could meet sales goals. But now, after filing with regulators yesterday, they admitted that the number could be higher. Meanwhile, Wells Fargo's CEO...
And so you don't know. So you have all these extra accounts that you don't even know about.
Right. They just opened them for you.
How nutty is that?
In your name.
I mean, we'd always heard those deals of people who... We call that identity theft.
You bet.
A criminal opens accounts in your name. You never considered your own bank
taking it from you.
Doing that behind your back. In a statement, Wells Fargo says the move is not based on any findings of improper behavior, but is a way to make company leaders accountable for the bank's sales practices, because the CEO and seven other executives won't be getting bonuses this year. I would hope so.
I bank at Wells Fargo. I've had an account there for, gosh, as long as they've been around in Omaha. I wonder if they've ever taken from me.
Were you impacted? I was going to say, have you checked?
Well, they took such little amount. I mean, who knows? How do you keep track of, I guess I'd have to pay more attention to my account.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just never enough in there.
they
Well, that's what I always thought. I mean, everyone is online banking now. Everything is auto pay. Online and check your account and be like, that's interesting. I have a savings account, three checking accounts.
You would think.
A credit card. I mean,
it'll be right there.
Right.
Well, they wouldn't be letting you know. I mean, that would be the thing. It would be open, but you wouldn't have any knowledge of it. Yeah.
I mean, I guess the cynical side is that the pressure was they looked at this as sales, right? Let's push these products on people.
Yeah.
I didn't always think that they were doing it necessarily behind their back. They were just sort of pressure to lean on you to get products that you didn't need, which people would go, well, there's what's the ethical thing there? Is a bank supposed to be your financial buddy? Or is he okay to make money off you?
Well, in this case, Wells Fargo was actually opening up accounts without people's knowledge. I mean, so they were legit, straight up opening stuff, credit cards, lines of credit for you that you didn't know or ask for. So,
and we're just saying, how do you hide that?
I mean, you
unless
got a credit
cynically,
report.
They're able to profile people's accounts that they're like, these people aren't minding the store.
Yeah, I suppose maybe they would know.
People that don't pay attention and...
They just take advantage, so, all right.
So George W. Bush, the former president, making his name for himself as an artist. He's going to present his new art exhibit today at the George W. Bush Presidential Center in Dallas. And it's pretty cool. It's an exhibition called Portraits of Courage. It features 66 oil paintings painted by the former president, and they're all portraits of American military veterans.
Yeah, they're weird, like abstract.
But it's cool. Like, these are all people that were deployed during his presidency, and he's gone back and, like, connected with them.
And
like, painted their portraits, but also, like, had meetings with them. Like, talked to them.
He's a painter.
Yeah. No, he's, this is his second show.
Okay.
He's had another one where it was, like, pictures of diplomats. It was called The Art of Leadership.
Okay.
But one of the things that he has said is that... he's painted the portraits of 98 wounded warriors that he's gotten to know. This is according to his Instagram. He said, remarkable men and women who were injured carrying out my orders. And I think about them on Veterans Day and every day. And their paintings and stories will be featured in Portraits of Courage and a book and a special exhibit. So it's kind of a cool connect that he's doing. He said that he started painting to make sure that the last chapters of his life are full. So
what are you going to do to... make sure your last chapters of life are full.
I don't know, man. I saw that. I was like, wow, that's really, I mean, he's got a whole studio. I mean, he's really serious about it and he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do.
Have you tried?
Oh my gosh. No. I mean, I don't.
Well, it reads into the thing that basically like all presidents or military leaders that you spend the twilight of your life sort of chewing on your decisions. Obviously, this weighs heavily on him.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
The Iraq War, his critics quietly sit in the background of the story like, mm-hmm, where he's going, hey, I painted this soldier, you know, lost his legs over there. You know, and I met him. And there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, mm-hmm, why don't you paint a picture of yourself signing the order or, you know, paint a picture of them weapons of mass destruction we never found.
Yeah.
I mean, we get money more than quarterback any day.
Streaming now.
I get it on my phone. I listen on my tablet.
I listen online
all the time.
Omaha's number one hit music station.
Channel 94.1.
All right, welcome. What looks like in the future we might see Oprah running for president. You guys see that? She kind of realized that you don't need to have much experience in the government world in order to run for president. I saw part of that interview. I was like, that's hilarious.
But some people are worried about that. I mean, even on the Democratic side, they're like, oh, now they're worried. We're going to overreact and throw out some media star.
Yeah.
And we were joking yesterday, sort of off the air, that we're like, we're now like three presidencies away from actually
Camacho.
Yes. President Camacho. Like, right. That's how Camacho, the Democrats next time will run Oprah. Republicans will run Carrot Top.
And then
we'll have President Camacho who'll come out and talk about burrito coverings.
Yeah. She has since said, you know, no.
She's debunking
it. Yeah, she's like, no,
That was just an interview, right?
I mean, it was an interview and they're like, oh, you know, she's like, well, I used to think that you'd have to have experience. And now, like, I don't know. I mean, and that was started this whole like, oh my God, it's Oprah. It's like, no, Oprah's not going to go.
I mean, from the beginning of time, we always say that to celebrities, do you think you would ever want to run for president?
They always said
this to Trump
in
the back
in the day.
In the 80s.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago.
I always think it's so funny that they, you know, that obsession that we have with celebrity in that way, you know, that because we like somebody that somehow they would be a good executive in that regard. Because it is
interesting, isn't it?
It's not a translatable job. Yeah. Just because you're a likable person doesn't mean that you're going to end up being able to handle the gig, you know?
The popularity contest.
Yeah, I mean, because it's more than just a popularity contest. You actually have to, I mean, I think one of my favorite quotes this week is, you know, Donald Trump's like, they had this healthcare thing, like, who would have known it was so complicated? You're like everybody, like, everyone knew that it was complicated. I mean, that's sort of the thing. It's like, it's a big job.
Trump was the only one that didn't.
Yeah. Apparently Trump did. He's like, I mean, check this out. Healthcare, complicated. What? Who knew? Like, well, there's a reason that they have a hard time hammering out something that everybody can agree on. It's tricky.
Yeah, but we're not that far, right? Carrot Top for president.
Carrot Top, yeah. President Camacho.
You can break stuff. Who's the guy who breaks stuff all the time? The other guy.
Oh, like the...
Gallagher.
Yeah. Gallagher?
Gallagher for president.
Vice president, maybe.
Yeah, that would work. You could be up there...
Entertaining.
Blowing up Obamacare.
Yeah.
Like, that would be his deal. He smashes. He could take policy and make it fruit.
Hey, guys!
Hey, guys! And people are like, I get it. It makes sense.
Smash it. I hope you guys are wearing your slickers.
I don't think we necessarily need Oprah for president, but maybe Oprah could run for something. She could be some level of...
Yeah, you never know. I mean, no. You never know.
Until I mean, this isn't a monarchy. It's not. We're not looking for a king out there.
But there are also
we're looking for pieces of the cabinet.
Right. Yeah. There's also plenty of ways in which to give back to your community without running for public office. I mean, there are lots of things that she could do to help... guide things without like Oprah for dog catcher or what have you, you know?
I don't understand why she doesn't still do TV. I mean, I know she's doing small projects here and there.
60 Minutes
but
now, she does.
It seems like that show is really humming along.
Yeah, she stopped when it was on top.
Did what filled the breach? Like, we still have Dr. Phil, and it's a good show, and Ellen's a good show.
You bet.
But not but like what that was.
Yeah, they don't feel like, I feel like those stories are missing. You remember, like, it wasn't every day, but every so often there would be a headline coming out of an episode of Oprah Winfrey that was, like, an issue. Something surfaced, something got talked about. And now we're in this age of media fragmentation where, yes, we get it. There's a million different options. We can watch on our phone. We can watch this. We can watch but everybody's kind of scrambling for, like, where's the content?
Right.
Who's saying stuff? Who's breaking stories? And it's sad. It's like all the talkers like walked away at the same time.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, a lot of big names that we listen to, but maybe it's just the changing of the guard.
Yes and no. I mean, I watch Ellen a lot. You know, I run across a lot, and all it really is a continuation of just nothing but games and interviews of celebrities.
Because
never really know hard issues hit. And then it's a lot of stealing from Oprah. It seems like a lot of people have stolen and picked apart what Oprah had.
I think what Oprah had,
and use it on their own, so.
Or like what Oprah had or what you know, like The Daily Show. I don't think that we as viewers realize how much time and energy goes into each of those broadcasts. Like, I see Ellen and it's fun and she keeps it light and it's like, how hard is it? I don't think it's as emotionally taxing as something when you're really driving content.
It's like 11% of the show is just dancing.
It is.
Right.
Oh, it starts that way.
Exactly. So, I mean, you got that. So you got one segment where you're just wiggling and then you don't even have to think about it. You could just stretch that. I mean,
she's looking up at the teleprompter and it just says dance.
She's like, ugh.
But and I think dance that when you're not even a good dance
doing like really hard hitting content, like not just like, oh my God, I'm interviewing Tom Cruise and he's jumping on a couch. But she, you know, Oprah would do these like very involved segment produced pieces with.
Yeah,
people.
They're heavy.
And it's like, I think after years and years and years of doing that 5 days a week, you're like, I need a life.
All right, yeah, so if I'm Tom Cruise and I'm ready for, I'm the modern day Tom Cruise, I'm ready for my couch hopping moment, where do I go? Whose couch am I hopping on?
Probably Ellen's.
Jimmy
Ellen's
Kimmel.
All you got, really. I mean, in the daytime, Ellen, if you want to catch a jump.
I'm in love, Ellen. And then you jump on the couch.
Yeah, Ellen.
She would absorb that and run with that all day long. The couch jumping moment.
Oh my God, that was so crazy.
Giggling. Just that.
I'm just insane.
I'm in love.
That laughter where you're like, you're laughing with, but you're like, this is kind of crazy.
I think he's a little
like,
off.
What are we?
Kilter.
Like,
weird was that?
What are we laughing at here? I mean, that's someone where you're like,
him
dude, are
losing
you okay?
his mind.
Like, if you had a friend go to you,
it wasn't that, it was that in love.
That in love. That you're like, are you on something?
She's dosing you, isn't she?
Like, right. You're like, going to come down off of this kokai. Are you okay?
Yes. Those of you who don't know, years ago when Tom Cruise fell in love with Katie Holmes, he expressed it on national television unlike anyone has ever expressed any sort of affection towards anyone.
They just and it was giggling weird. And laughing and nodding, and Oprah was like, you're crazy in love.
Mm-hmm.
You're like,
you're
jumping,
crazy
jumping and shouting out loud. And he was like, yes. And he jumped, stood on her couch, and just jumped up and down.
I mean,
in the name of love.
funny.
Love you guys.
Omaha's number one hit music station.
Channel 94.1.
This is with the stars. So there are rumors that Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom, after announcing earlier this week that they were taking respectful, loving space from one another after a year of dating, that they broke up because Orlando Bloom was caught snuggling up with another lady.
It happens.
Bloom was videotaped doing a lot of whispering and face touching at a pre-Oscar charity event with this Aaron Maccabee, whose father is president of the environmental nonprofit Global Green. So,
People Magazine's calling it, saying that it was a shaky relationship to start with that was never supposed to be serious.
Yeah, I mean, would we really think that it'll last forever?
Fine, right?
No. Yes. Oh, God, yes. I think they'll both come out of this okay. I was always surprised at that relationship. Like, it was always kind of one of those, like, really? Okay. Love finds a way, I guess.
He was no John Mayer.
No. I wonder if John will come back.
Maybe he will.
That was a couple that I thought worked. Like, if he could just settle down, be a grown-up.
Did you think Russell Brand worked?
No. Well, that was always like, what?
That was her bad boy stage.
He was way out of his league. I mean, that was like, she was giving him the biggest attaboy to his street cred possible. I mean, everybody was like, really?
Did you think Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston worked?
Yes. Yeah, they were kind of like a fun, mellow, chill Malibu couple. I mean, everybody that I knew that had ever come in contact with them as a couple always said that they were always like super, super happy.
I've never known anyone to come in contact with them as a couple. I mean, that's a weird thing to say.
Well, no, but like back when they were like a couple, they would go out and people would always be like, they were really loving and really chill. Like, just like, he's like, hey, obviously very stoned.
So he's single now.
Yes.
And she is not, but he texted her on her birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brad Pitt apparently reached out to Jennifer Aniston earlier in February when it was her birthday. And she, I mean, out of the blue. And I guess that has sparked a new relationship for them. I mean, and when I say relationship, I mean, they're texting. Like, kind of
friendly.
Like a friendly sort of like, hey, he reached out to wish her happy birthday. And I guess they've been now kind of friendly back and forth thing. Now, whether or not Justin Theroux, Aniston's husband, is rattled, they say no. He's okay with them being just friends, and he knows that she's just being nice.
And maybe he just needs someone to talk to, you know, someone he can trust on a certain level.
Yeah.
Until this came out.
Isn't Theroux kind of a stoner?
Yes, he is, actually.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Everyone in Hollywood.
Well, Molly, what do your friends tell you?
Well, I don't know anybody that knows them as a couple. I'm just saying, I had knew people that had been out and about with, I mean, this was back when Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, I mean, that was a million years ago. But he always seems like a real workout guy to me, Justin Theroux. He's always like super cut, like super lean. Like, he's the kind of guy, like, I wouldn't even smell a carb.
I don't know, yeah.
Straight living kind of guy. Yeah. Lorde's new single, Green Light, dropping on Thursday. That's today, 1 o'clock. This will be her first new music since her album Pure Heroin. Well, I mean, with the exception, I guess I should put in that she did a single for the Hunger Games
soundtrack,
Mockingjay soundtrack.
Right?
But yeah. Other than that, but like Pure Heroin came out a couple years ago, huge success, and now the sophomore pressure is on. What are you going to do for that second follow-up album?
Yeah, Jeff and I listened to it yesterday a little bit, and yeah, hopefully we can play it this morning for the show. I'm just curious to see what everyone else thinks about Lorde's next single.
Did it sound like her previous work?
Or
was it like a whole new sound for her?
It's kind of simplistic and sort of, it sounds like something she could have produced like in her own room.
Okay. So kind of like maybe like a take it like a simpler
down. I think
down.
Her fans will like it.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, I mean, everybody's excited to see what she's got. A lot of dates on the calendar. She's doing a lot of festivals, got a lot of concerts. She's going to be doing Saturday Night Live. So she's ready to gear up and get that music out there, it seems. Beauty and the Beast. So it would appear that Disney is breaking a barrier with this new live action creation of the famous Beauty and the Beast tale.
What are they doing?
I guess it's Disney's first gay character. In the film, Josh Gad is going to play Le Fou. Uh-huh. And I guess he wants to be, he's like...
He wants to be with the beast?
Pardon?
He wants to be with the beast?
No, he wants to be with Gaston. Gaston was like the, don't you remember the candelabra? And then there's LeFou. So I guess he's confused about what he wants. Somebody's just realizing that he has feelings. So like one day he's like, oh. So they're saying that this is like a big breakthrough. This is the first.
I guess I don't remember the plot of Beauty and the Beast.
I don't either.
Well, there was a man monster who sort of looked, you know, like a furry dude.
And he was in love with her. And she loved him or something and kept him secret.
It's forbidden love because he's a beast.
Yeah. Is that it, Mo?
Well, he's put under an enchantment, and somebody needs to fall in love with him for him. Somebody made him a beast. And so the whole deal is that he's got this flower under glass, and once the last petal falls, then he has to stay that way forever.
So it's like a Shrek.
Kind of, yes, exactly.
Shrek, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Shrek. And so part of the deal is that he has this enchanted mansion where it's like all of the act, you know, like the teacup talks and so that's the thing. Like she comes to live there. It's supposed to be really, I mean, I saw this new
live. Is it Beauty and the Beast? Or you could just call it Beauty and the Gay Guy. It sounds like now a sitcom on Thursday nights.
He's
on
not
NBC.
Gay though.
No, he's not gay. His buddy is. He wants to get with him.
I want to get freaky with you.
So it's the beauty. The gay guy is the beauty, right? We're just trying to cast who the Beauty and the Beast are.
Yeah. So Beauty is Emma Watson.
Okay.
She's lady. Beast, I don't know who's playing him. Just some guy. But the deal is that LeFou, I believe, is the horse of like Gaston, who's like one of the other like strapping young guy characters. It's been a million years since I saw it, and I don't know exactly.
I get it, yeah, because I don't know anything about it. So,
it's his sidekick. It's Gaston's sidekick, who's like, I guess Gaston's like the super strapping, like, hello, I'm Gaston, and his sidekick's like,
so it's like Will and Grace. Except the horse will be Sean Hayes' character.
Okay.
That is your celebrity news update on Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.
The Big Party Morning Show. Channel 94.1.